and welcome to MLB.com Extras. We're talking about the New York Mets. I'm Matthew Leach, joined by Paul Hagan, and we'll be talking to Anthony DiComo in just a moment. The Mets are kind of a team in transition, a team with a real bright future, but thought that it might be a little closer to contention this year. Paul, what have you seen from this team this year?
Well, I mean, you see a team that was counting a lot on their young starting pitching coming through, and not having Matt Harvey for the year is a setback in the short term. But if it means that he's healthy for the rest of his career, then I think that's going to be a plus for them in the long term.
Yeah, they're just a team that really is intriguing for a whole lot of reasons. Anthony, with this team kind of right on the edge of contention, what do you expect them to do between now and the deadline? Is this team a buyer, a seller, a little of both, none of the above? What do you expect to see between now and July 31st?
You know, honestly, I think it's going to be a lot of sitting back and waiting and hoping that someone's going to come and wow them with an offer. Like you said, the young pitching here is really good. It's really promising. It's deep. There's a lot of guys that can help them out. But they also know they're an injury or two away from being like everyone else in that regard. So they're not, you know, going to go out and bang down the doors of 29 other teams trying to trade young pitchers for young hitting, which is really what they need. You know, instead, they're going to sit back, gauge the market, see if a team really desperate for pitching or really desperate, you know, even for a bullpen arm or a bench bat or something that they could provide without mortgaging in the future becomes, you know, someone offers more essentially than what they think the value they're giving up is.
How good is this team really? I mean, again, they talked like they thought they would be a contender, and you can still kind of squint and see how it happens. Is this a 500 team? Have they underachieved? How good is this team really, do you think?
You know, going into this year, I think most people gauge this team as maybe 500 if everything broke right. If everything broke perfectly, maybe they could surprise and make a playoff run. That hasn't happened. That doesn't usually happen for a lot of teams. So, you know, they've been sitting for most of the season at just under 500, making little runs to get there and then bouncing back and going back and forth in that regard. And I think that's really what they are. You know, they haven't shown signs that they're significantly better than this. They haven't really shown signs that they're significantly worse than this. And until, you know, either some of these younger pieces, these top prospects, you know, a Syndergaard comes to mind, develop and start contributing at the big league level, or, you know, they might have to wait until next year or even the year after, when that pitching really falls into place to become better than what they are right now.
I saw a quote from Sandy Alderson recently who said something to the effect of that he thinks there's more talent here than the record has indicated. That would seem to point a finger somewhere. What do you think he meant by that?
You know, I think a lot of people read that quote and looked instantly to Terry Collins saying, well, that must mean the manager is at fault here. That's really not what Sandy meant, and he clarified it a couple days later. What he meant was, you know, this is a team that has a really poor record in one-run games. You know, even when they were 9-10 games under 500, their run differential was pretty much even, which, you know, a lot of people look at that and say, you know, there's a couple things going on. Either they're not executing late in games, and that's a flaw that needs to be fixed on the hitting side and on the bullpen side, or, you know, they're just flat out getting unlucky. And it's probably some combination of both. So I think what Sandy was trying to say with that quote is, you know, we've gotten a little unlucky. The record looks bad right now. But in terms of talent, in terms of what we have to build upon, in terms of where we should be, really, you know, we're not that bad. And he went out of his way a couple of days later to say this is not a judgment on the manager or anything like that. I think it's more just, you know, the GM looking down, looking at what he has on paper, looking at the stat lines and saying, you know, we've gotten a little unlucky that we're not better than we are right now record-wise.
So what do you think he realistically would like to see in the second half? Is it more wins or is it something more subtle than that?
Yeah, I mean, wins are always great. At this point, it's hard to imagine without everything breaking perfectly that the Mets could make that sort of late playoff run. So I think more what they're looking for is just continued development from those young pitchers, continued development from the lineup pieces, and really finding out who in the lineup is going to be still on this team a year or two from now. You know, you look at the pitching, you really need continued development from Zach Wheeler. You need him to turn from that sort of finding his way, maybe middle of the rotation guy, into the ace that everyone projected him to be. You need Noah Syndergaard, who's really struggled in the minors, battled a couple injuries, to not only get to the big leagues, but show flashes of also becoming that top of the rotation type talent. And then on the lineup side, you have a couple of guys who you know what you're going to get. You know, you sort of know David Wright had a rough first half. You know, he's, as long as he stays healthy, he's going to bounce back in some form. Daniel Murphy, as long as they decide that they don't want to trade him, you know what you have there. But then you've got these other pieces. You've got Juan Lagares. You've got Lucas Duda. You've got Ruben Tejada, guys who may or may not be here when the Mets are ready to compete for a World Series. You've got to find out whether these guys are pieces for the long term or whether they're just pieces that are here right now and need to be replaced.
You mentioned a couple guys. There are three young guys who have really shown some promising signs in that lineup lately. You know, Darno has been much better since coming back. There's a lot to like about the way Tejada's been hitting, and Duda's obviously having a nice year. In the cases of those three guys, to what extent are these hot streaks, and to what extent are these maybe really encouraging that these are some guys who are figuring out hitting at the big league level?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the question the Mets don't really know right now, and that's what they're trying to figure out. As for Travis Darno, he was a top prospect. He struggled when he first came up. He really didn't have that sample size in the big league where you could say this is who he is. He's just not cut out to be a major league catcher. He's starting to get there now, so this is a hot streak to really keep an eye on. You know, you look down at the end of the year, look at what his second half numbers are. I think that's really going to be key going into 2015, where maybe he develops the type of guy that you're not even thinking about anymore. You're not worried about him. He's just a major league regular. He's producing for you. Lucas Duda, they've given him every chance. Since Carlos Beltran was traded in 2012, they've tried to make him stick as an outfielder. Now they're trying to make him stick as a first baseman, which is his natural position. You know, they traded Ike Davis away, so they essentially put all their eggs in that basket. And he's finally starting to turn a corner here, as we're in July. And, he's got all the raw power in the world. He's got, maybe I wouldn't call it Giancarlo Stanton-esque, but it's probably in that second tier. It's just a matter of unlocking that and really getting him to be a more aggressive hitter than he has shown. And he's been doing that lately. And, as for Ruben Tejada, he's really the most interesting one of the bunch, in my opinion. The Mets spent all winter essentially trying to replace him. They lit a fire under him this spring when they tried to make Wilmer Flores into a shortstop, an experiment that's really ongoing. And Wilmer Flores is doing great down in the minors. Tejada sort of fended off all comers. He's reestablished himself as a useful piece. He's not going to blow you away on offense. He's not going to blow you away on defense. But he's established himself as that maybe sum is greater than the parts, where he doesn't really have too many weaknesses that's going to kill you in a lineup.
Anthony, what's the latest on Matt Harvey's progress?
He's rehabbing. They're taking it slow. There's been, you don't call them setbacks, because there were more target dates than everything in terms of getting on a mound, throwing, at certain distances. And he's taken those a little slower than I think people expected at the start. So, we're not going to see him this year, to be honest. I don't think anyone realistically, other than maybe Matt Harvey himself, thought we would see him this year. But that's the benefit. We look at guys who have had Tommy John surgery, and even rehabbing, just taking it slow for another 2 or 3 months beyond that one-year window has really shown to prevent guys from re-injuring the elbow, which is obviously goal number one for the Mets. And that's not to say that Matt Harvey's going to come back in April and just be completely lights out like he was last year. I think that's a lot to expect from anyone. But if he's closer to that guy than he is to, a tentative sort of still finding your way back from surgery, then the Mets are going to be in a lot better shape.
What's this team going to do? It may seem like a minor concern, but I know there are a lot of people who are interested in it. What is this team going to do in the ninth inning in the second half? It seems like there's a little uncertainty there. There are a couple of really interesting arms who, if nothing else, you kind of wonder about how they're developing and what the long-term plans are with Mejia and Familia.
Yeah, there's really three arms out there down there that really intrigue. There's Mejia, like you said, Familia, who's really been their best reliever in the first half, and Vic Black, who sort of came into the season looking like plan A after Bobby Parnell, and then Bobby Parnell got hurt. Vic Black wasn't pitching well at the time, and the Mets decided that Mejia was the way to go. Right now, this is a team that still loves Henry Mejia's arm. I think the Mejia as a starter is dead for good now, which means they're going to give him every chance to succeed in the closer's role. And I'd really be surprised barring injury, if he's not the closer at the end of the year. And then, you know, you look up, you see where Bobby Parnell is in his own rehab from Tommy John surgery. You see what Mejia's numbers are, and then maybe let him battle that next spring. You know, what could throw a wrench in all that is if Mejia really struggles or if he proves that he can't handle the workload. This is a guy who's had major shoulder and elbow injuries in his past. And then if Familia's still pitching the way he has been in the first half, or if Vic Black sort of learns to harness his stuff and throw more strikes and become a lockdown reliever himself, you know, maybe one of those guys gets in the mix in spring training. I have a hunch that we're going to go into spring training 2015 with the Mets not having a defined closer in place, and they're going to let two, maybe even three or four of these guys battle it out.
Anthony, how patient are the fans with what's going on here? And in your mind, when is the earliest the Mets can be considered legitimate contenders?
Well, you know, a lot of that depends on what they do over the winter. You know, obviously I don't see it happening this year, but it wouldn't take a whole lot to see it happening next year. You've got Matt Harvey coming back. It's reasonable to think Noah Syndergaard will be in the opening day rotation next year or be at least close to it. So you could enter 2015 with one of the best starting fives in baseball. They've got a really good bullpen that went from actually really bad in April to one of the best in the league in May, June, into July. And then it's just a matter of the lineup. Do they go out and invest in a big bat this winter? Do they make a trade? Do they sign a marquee free agent, something they've really been hesitant to do in recent years? You know, if they do that, just to fill that piece, because there's not a lot coming on the offensive side in the minor leagues, you know, if they can sort of bring an extra bat to the lineup and make that lineup deeper and give some protection to David Wright and those other guys in the middle, you know, it's not unrealistic to think this team could compete in 2015. Yeah, it means a lot of things have to go right, but they're closer to that. They're a lot closer to that on paper than they were even 2 years ago.
All right. Well, we will certainly be watching, and you'll certainly be busy over the coming weeks and months. Anthony DiComo, thanks for joining us on MLB.com Extras.